Hello everybody and welcome to this episode of After the War from Black Armada Tales. My name is Becky Annison and I will be GMing this amazing game by Alistair Stewart and Jason Pitcher. And my fantastic players in alphabetical order using first names only are...
Hi, I'm Liz. I'm playing Listener Ojibawa, the Caller of Silence. Her pronouns are her, mine are she or they.
Hello, I am Josh. I am playing Major Grilani. Our pronouns are both he, him. I think that's it.
G'day, folks. I'm Nick Bate. My pronouns are he, him. And tonight I'm playing Odd Alvarez, the last man out, whose pronouns are also he, him.
Hello, I'm Sue. My pronouns are she, her. I'll be playing Novak the Bull, whose pronouns are he, him.
Hello everyone, it's Josh here. Just wanted to let you know that we are coming up for our 50th episode of Black Armada Tales. It's a big milestone for us and we're really proud to have got this far. We are going to celebrate by holding an Ask Us Anything session, which, if we can get the technology working, will be streamed live on October the 19th. We'd really love to have your questions, anything about the podcast, about food, about any of the nonsense that we talk about in the stingers, anything you like. Just send us those questions. You can send them to our Twitter account, which is at BArmadaTales, or you can email me at blackarmadatales@vaporspace.net. I'm not going to spell that out, just have a look in the show notes for that email address. And looking forward to hearing your questions.
Right. Time for another scene, I think. So this time I'm going to ask Nick to set the platform. I will set the tilt. Josh will set the question.
Oh my lord.
What?
How can you ask a question to bring in a grand piano?
How will the players deal with the grand piano? I didn't even know that you could choose yourself.
Of course I can nominate myself. Do you think I should be rolling dice or something to determine?
You need a screen. I've been watching Stranger Things, you need a screen.
Oh, damn it. Josh. No. Nick,
no,
platform.
No, I'm doing the platform. Yeah.
Me, tilt. Josh, question. Let's go.
Yeah, so I think the platform's pretty straightforward. I think the platform is a defile between a pile of cargo crates up on either side, stamped on the side with the logo of a generic Belter transport company, the kind of thing that would be moving around water and grain and boring stuff. And the sun is very close to set, so it's dark. It's getting dark. And it's noisy as fuck. And that's my platform.
Where's the noise? What is the noise?
I mean, do I need to define it? Or can I leave that to be a... Leave
okay.
That to the tilt?
All right. No, if you leave the noise, then the tilt will say, the noise is the grinding sound of a bunch of shipping containers about to fall on you all.
Is there a grand piano in one of them?
Yes, and there is a grand piano in one of them that you can't see. Josh, what's the question?
So it all lands with a kind of cacophonous piano noise.
Oh, it's like that scene in Northern Exposure when they put the piano in the giant catapult and fling it.
Yeah, it's exactly like that, except with a bunch of other stuff too.
I love Northern Exposure. Huge fan.
I've got to just... Sorry, I'm playing a space opera game with my other crew on Monday nights, and one of the characters has face cast himself as... I've forgotten his name, the Doctor.
Rob Morrow.
Yeah, yeah, but specifically in Northern Exposure.
Fleischman.
Fleischman, yep.
Fleischman, that's so cool.
I've never seen Northern Exposure.
Get the fuck out.
That's two of us thrown off for not...
That's all right, I've never seen Bring It On.
I know, I have to forget this fact in order to continue to be friends with you. So
I don't even really like high school movies that much. I know.
It's a struggle being friends with you.
I'm just the worst. What's your question, Josh?
I am going to say it is, how does each half of the party handle being separated by the collapsing container?
Oh, I like that.
That's a hard one.
So we're saying that so in that case, before we start the scene, is this a split scene with one half of the party on one side and one half on the other?
It is now.
Okay, who's in which half before I start?
Can we roll dice to decide?
You can roll some dice to decide, because you went and got your dice specially, and we'll feel bad if you don't get to use them.
I've got a pitch, though.
Well, what's your pitch, mate?
Well, actually, no. I think the most interesting question to me is, where are Novak and Major Grillani relative to each other?
Oh, I was going to see what happens if Odd and Grillani end up in different places. Is Odd just like, ah, fuck this, I'm going home.
I'm out.
Well, what's most interesting?
I think it might be a bit early for Odd to...
No, I'm not going to...
Can't be bothered.
Should I roll some dice?
Yes.
Although I'd like to clarify that it wasn't me who went and got them.
Surely what should happen is one of us should propose an arrangement and someone else should disagree with it.
Then Josh should disagree with it. Okay, I'm rolling dice. Right. First dice is for Odd. Roger, you have number 3. Second dice is for Grillani. You have number 2.
Hang on. We haven't actually decided what the numbers mean, so we should probably decide that. I'm going to say that.
And then we'll argue about what the numbers mean.
So I'm going to propose that if you get an odd number rolled, then you are further in, and if you're in the front party, and if you get an even number rolled, you're in the back party. Does that seem bad? So that's odds in the front party, and who's in the back party, did you just say?
Major Grillani.
Yeah. And it's appropriate that odd is odd, because otherwise we would get very confused.
Yeah, we would.
Novak is odd. Listener is odd. Oh dear. did Jurat come with us?
Yes. I came with Jurat just to this point.
I don't think this randomization method's very good.
I was just going to say, we've got some NPCs we can sprinkle in as well, just in case we need to shore it up a bit.
So yeah, I have rolled dice which put Grillani on his own and at the back, and everybody else at the front.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Are the remainder of your quad with you, Major?
I suppose. Okay, sure.
Oh, fuck, I've lost my needle in all the excitement.
I think it's more interesting if there are two PCs on each side, though.
I tend to agree.
I do too.
Okay, so who's moving to Grillani's side? I'm happy to. I feel like there are some ways in which that makes sense, because better to have Odd in the back than in the front.
Yeah.
And we have a sort of tending optimist and a tending pessimist on each side.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, that's interesting. Odd and Grillani in the back party. Novak, Jurak and the listener are in the front party. And the rest of the quad is with them, with the Major. And Novak's people are with Novak. Tizer, Scooby, Stanislav. Squiffy,
Steve,
Binty, Ginger.
Can we? So hang on.
Squad's getting bigger by the second.
Is the whole place coming down, or has it stopped?
So I can answer that because I did the tilt. It has stopped, and it has just separated you from each other.
Yep. Okay.
Boom! It's quite high, and it looks a bit unstable.
Yep.
It must be a chuffing massive container, mustn't it?
Well, I imagine them to be like shipping containers, only bigger.
Yeah, that's what I was picturing too, like big, big shipping containers. And
shipping containers are pretty chuffing big.
Yeah. Can we decide at this point whether it's fairly normal for these things to kind of shift and settle, or whether this is like completely unprecedented?
My gut says it's that this is dramatic, but not it's not unprecedented for things to move and change and collapse.
Jurak would agree with that. I mean, this is the Warframe Yard. Things are not necessarily that stable. There is a precariousness as things decay and age and shift. And this is supposed to be quite dangerous, of all of the settlements. That this is what I think is supposed to be one of the more dangerous ones because of that, isn't it?
There is the question of timing, of course.
Well, yes.
So who's going first? Because we can't possibly try and roleplay two scenes literally in split screen. That would just be weird.
I feel like I would like to nominate the Major's side to go first. The back side.
The back side.
That's how I think of you now.
Well, I think the first thing Odd will do is shout to see if he can confirm that everybody's okay on the other side. You know, how much has collapsed? Can we hear each other? And he'll probably specifically shout, Novak.
So I would assume this split screen will become very uninteresting if we can hear each other.
Okay, so Odd will shout, Novak, are you okay over there? And wait for a moment. And when he hears nothing, go, well, shit.
Is everybody all right? Is anybody hurt?
I'm fine, but I don't know about them.
Yes, you're fine. Good. Looks at the other members of the Care Bear.
The Care Bear squad. I think Crevalia will just look sardonically and be like, "Well, that's a good start, isn't it?" I'm also a bit nervous of playing Captain Damaso because I've read your description of Captain Damaso and I'm finding it really hard not to imagine him as a bit of Lord Flashheart.
So we had this conversation already.
Did we have this conversation already?
Yes, and I said he was more like the Cardassian tailor in DS9.
Garak.
We did have this conversation already. I'm so consistent in my reading of things.
You are. Well, you're going to have to play him sooner or later, so... Good, if we're all unharmed, then we should immediately see if we can get to the others. Presuming that none of them have been trapped underneath this.
I mean, that feels like a pretty big presumption, but...
It seems highly likely at least one of them will be seriously injured.
Thank you, Crevalia, for your assessment. At this point, that is pure speculation.
She grumbles something about balance and probabilities.
I mean, I guess... Something was going to go wrong eventually, but I mean, I can get us around probably. I don't know how long it'll take.
Can we go over? Says Damaso. See how much I refrained from saying, I'll get us over there. Woof, woof. Oh, he's a bear though, so he wouldn't say woof, woof. That'd just be ridiculous.
I think Odd, when you say that, he sort of looks, despite himself, looks. Gives the mound an appraising look. Yeah, I think the thing with Odd is that he has this, you know, if someone's got to do it, it may as well be him, which is directly at odds with what he thinks about these things. And so his, you know, he has that instant reaction of staring at the pile of rubble and appraising. I mean, I might be able to, but. No disrespect, you're not exactly little folk.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about whether... What was the question? Can we go over it? That was the question. Yes. I would be concerned that the sand... Which is sandy here in my head.
It is now.
It is now.
Yeah, I'm imagining this thing kind of came down, great big thing, and sort of pushed a plume of sand up around it so that now it's... kind of half in, half out of the sand. It's very bad news if anybody did was directly underneath it.
Do you know how hard I'm finding not to say you can't go over it, you can't go under it. You have to go through it because we're going on a bear hunt.
Well, what about going through it?
Just for my mental picture, we're actually talking about one large shipping crate that's blocked the route, not a pile of...
No, I think it's a pile.
Yeah,
that was my conception. My conception is that this is like an alleyway made up of many stacked shipping containers. You're probably going through like the heart of a cargo ship's belly, and these are stacked up on either side, several high, and that some number of them have fallen down. So it's more like a kind of a massive rock slide made of shipping crate container.
Could we go through it? Odd.
You mean, like, what do you mean? Like, blast through it?
We could torch our way through it, I reckon.
How thick are the walls of the containers? Could we make ourselves a path?
These are not
properly stacked anymore. There must be gaps.
Again, you're not exactly little. No disrespect.
You keep saying those words, says Crevelia, but I can cut a hole the size of myself.
I thought the Major was saying, like, find a route through, not, like, punch a route through. If you want to punch a route through, I mean, that sounds like you're just asking to bring the whole mess down on top of you, but...
Are we?
He has a point. It may not be stable. But is there another way around?
Would it be inappropriate to jump cut to the other half?
No, I don't think so. I think we could talk around in circles like this for ages.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Let's jump cut to the other half.
Clearly one of us should be trapped under something.
Yeah, I'm thinking it probably should be Durak, because I kind of like the idea of just having her be the punching bag for this set of scenes.
So I think when it cuts back, it like cuts to Novak shouting kind of in the same way that Odd was shouting. It almost mirrors it.
But can't really be heard over the sound of Durak screaming because one of these containers has trapped her arm.
Shit.
Listener is kneeling on the floor next to Durak. I was just looking up what my skills actually are, and some of them might be useful.
I stuck them in next to your origins, your stuff, if that's okay.
Oh, thank you.
One of them is healing.
A little good. You have to get her out first, though.
Ah, right then. Thank you for that.
I can't hear the other side at all, but we have to assume that we're on our own at the moment, listener.
I think we have to deal with Durak before we think of anything else.
Stop talking about the other side and get me the fuck out of here, says Durak.
Hush, my friend, hush.
You fucking hush.
Everybody else be quiet. You too, Durak. I will kneel next to her and hold my hands out over the trapped arm. And I assume you just want me to describe something mystical that happens in a healing sort of way. The rules as written suggest I don't need to actually do anything mechanically, I just do shit.
What are you doing about getting her arm out is one question I would have for you, because otherwise then they'll probably just break again.
I wasn't going to. I was just going to leave her with a stump.
Fuck! Okay.
Useful war healing.
No, that's cool. I like that.
I mean, that seemed like the obvious plan and the obvious thing that would be obvious in wartime also. So,
no, that's fine.
Sorry to interject, but I'm interested in knowing what happens if and when Durak figures out this is what's happening.
Well, we'll find out, won't we? If there's any... There's still some kind of muttering from the people behind Listener, but I turn around and hiss at them and they fall silent. And then there's a kind of musical echoing that's kind of half heard among the people present. And Durak looks like she's about to say something, and I glare at her. Does that...
That shuts her up.
the musical stuff kind of intensifies and turns into a... Well, you might want to call it a song. It doesn't sound like the song, but it's certainly something... singing adjacent, although in a language that nobody here understands or can quite pin their understanding to, although it feels like if you just concentrated a little bit more you might just about be able to work out what the words were. And there's a flash of bright light around the trapped arm, and then the song reaches a climax and goes silent, and Durak is left with a smoothly healed stump kind of around halfway up her upper arm. The remaining bit of arm is still under the shipping container, but is no longer attached to Durak.
I think that Durak will walk away from the shipping container feeling relieved, and is about to sort of say oh, thank God, thank you so much, when she realises that her arm, although it feels fine, is basically still under the shipping container. And then I think that a momentary look of panic will cross her face, and then she will just slump down and look at her arm, or the stump, and I don't think she'll say anything. I think she'll just be completely, like, totally shocked.
I'll spend a moment looking at her, checking whether she's about to start, like, running around and screaming and recriminating or anything. Decide that she's not.
She looks like she might be... I suppose she probably isn't going into actual shock, is she? Because you've done some healing, so it'd be, I presume that your healing would have taken care of that. But she looks like she's in deep psychological shock and is not really interested in saying anything right now.
Well, that's a thing that we can deal with later. That's not a pressing need right now. So, all business, I walk over to Novak.
I mean, is this something that, like, out of character, is this something that we know that you can do? Or is this... I'm not sure how Novak should react to that.
Well, I'm quite new to the settlement, so we might not have had much in the way of conversation before. But equally, I don't think it's that it's unusual, but not, like, ridiculously uncommon. My reading of the freedom with which the rules offer me that is that it's the kind of thing that people will have had in the war, maybe slightly different kind of versions of, but...
Okay.
So kind of rare, but not, like, outrageous. Is that fair, Becky?
Yeah, I'm totally cool with that. Or should we have a conflict? No, that's not.
We can have a conflict. We can say that actually this is outrageous and nobody has ever seen anything of the like before, but the rules are so casual about offering it that I don't think, see that it can be.
It's far too late to start with that conflict business.
Agreed.
I think Novak realises how tense he is, having heard something song adjacent, maybe, and kind of has to consciously kind of relax once it's over, I think. Yeah, I don't think it's something he's experienced before, so yeah. But he also looks quite pleased that it's like he's mentally ticked that off his list. It's like, yeah, okay, we've dealt with the trapped arm. Good. Now we can deal with the other issues. So he turns back to look at, yeah, the pile of containers. There doesn't seem to be a way of contacting the others just yet. And I'm not sure how stable this is. We might have to consider pushing on without them and hoping they find their own way around. But I want to leave that as a last resort.
Do you think you know your way around the rest of the boneyard, my friend? I certainly do not.
Well, we still have Jurak.
Currently, Jurak doesn't look like she's going to be leading anybody anywhere.
She's out of danger, which means that we can make her useful if we need to.
Yes, but I think it would be better for her and perhaps for us if we were not forced to that. Do you have cutting materials or anything of the sort with you? Could we cut through, do you think?
I don't know enough about the integrity of these containers. If the others are cutting through in a different place at the same time, it could bring the whole thing down. He's sort of scrutinising this pile. If I could find a way over, make sure it's safe, maybe I could let down a rope for the others.
Is climbing not almost as dangerous from the point of view of bringing down the structure as cutting would be?
Maybe, but I know climbing better than I know cutting through things.
I would suggest we send a scout back down the pathway. There was a turning not far back that might lead them around to the rest of our group. But I think given what we suspect about this place, it would be wise to stay together whatever we do.
Agreed. So I think Novak's going to maybe get some kind of special space rope out of his
special his space pack. Rope.
I love special space rope.
And he's maybe just going to like try out, see, you know, maybe try the first bit of getting over, getting on top of like one bit of container or something, just see, you know, just trying his weight on it and seeing if it holds.
Tell me what I can do to help.
So I suppose in the spirit of setting up a conflict or not, does anybody think that this should not hold? Actually, I suppose, see, you might not want it to hold. You might want your carrot to come crashing down face first and plonk into the sand.
Your head trapped under a container and see what happens then.
I sort of like the idea of the quad are still debating what they're going to do, and by the quad I include Odd in that, and then Novak's head just pops up over the top. But does anybody have any other ideas?
Yeah, I guess the question is this a... Do we want this to be a minor, easily subverted obstacle? Or is there more to this than that?
The only interesting thing I could see happening at this point, assuming that we're not going to have Novak get like badly hurt or trapped, which I think probably we don't want to.
I feel that'd be a bit boring after Jurak getting hurt.
Is if there was something weird or interesting in the containers, but probably not.
Or whatever caused the collapse to manifest itself. Or...
Ooh.
I think that sounds like the start of another scene.
Yeah, but I also don't know how we would handle that. I don't quite get that, the way the conflicts are resolved, I must confess.
Well, let's have Novak pop his head up over the top of the crates while the quad are still debating what to do.
So what line is the quad taking, or some element of the quad taking, Josh, about how we should resolve this situation?
I reckon our demolitions expert is probably pushing for making some sort of a hole through, because, you know.
I think that Crevelia, the demolitions expert, is absolutely pushing for making a hole through, but she is also stating the case forcefully that whether you decide you're going to go round, over or through, they're all as dangerous as each other, so going through is the fastest situation and therefore the best.
All right, I think Odd's position is, Odd's disagreeing vehemently. He's given up on... His original proposal was to take the long way around, find another route. He's picked up that that's not going to fly with these stubborn bears. And so instead he's arguing that that's just stupidly dangerous, blowing a hole in a thing that's probably unstable. If we're going to go through, then just let me go. I'll go and see if I can figure out a route through, check if everybody's safe. You know, maybe we can, if the route's big enough, we can fit you through. Maybe I can bring the others back through. Just let me go. Don't start blowing anything up. That's crazy talk.
I'm not talking about blowing the yard sky high. Just some very, very discreet charges.
Crevalia is very good at what she does, Odd. But I do...
Why does everybody keep saying that to me? Yes. I know.
Because I am. And apparently you need persuasion.
I know you are, but explosives and a thing that just fell down. I mean, does anyone not, and I look at the rest of the quad, does anyone not think that this is a dangerous idea?
Of course it's dangerous. Just had an enormous pile of cargo containers come down. We're in a dangerous situation, Odd. I believe you've been in the Warframe Yard before, yes?
Yeah, sure. But why risk all of us when you can just one of us, all right?
Well, as I was just getting to saying, I don't think that's actually a bad suggestion. A little investigation, testing, we can find out if there's where the charges might be best placed. I'm sure you would agree that would be helpful, Crevalia.
No, I agree that would be very helpful.
All right, fine. All right, I'm going in. Okay, just what do you want me to look for? Like narrow spots that are pretty stable that you can punch through? Is that?
Yes.
Just as you say what you're about to do, the bottom of the rope just drops down in front of you. And then you look up and see Novak at the top of the pile.
I think Odd probably jumps away from the rope when it falls.
I think Crevelia is going to smile. Especially when she sees it's Novak. I think Crevelia likes Novak.
Hello, Novak. Is everybody all right over there? Or wherever?
Mostly. Durak's lost an arm.
What?
She's fine.
What?
I don't want to stay in this tunnel, this alley, too much longer.
If that's all we've lost from having this amount of stuff fall down on us, then I feel extremely fortunate.
Major, do you think you and your crew can make it over the top?
That depends on whether your space rope is as sturdy as it looks.
I think at this point...
is that Major... the 9.4 gauge?
I think Demanso will step forward, give it a tug, and say, I reckon we can get over this, Major.
If it weren't for space rope, I would have been dead 10 times over. Thank goodness you thought to bring some. That's all I can say.
Does Grilani turn to the camera and like bring up a branded space rope? Johnson's space rope.
Never accept less than the 9.4 gauge, that's all I'm saying. Some people say 9.3 is sufficient, but I disagree. Especially if you're a bear.
Is it? Is that
scene? Do we need to roleplay through climbing up a rope?
Please, let's not roleplay. I think that we have answered the question of what...
Roll climbing!
What do the two individual teams...
I disagree. I think that the rope may be about to explode.
Are there any important conversations that people want to have when they are when you are recombobulated as a group on the other side?
There's a conversation I want to have with Novak kind of as we walk along, but it's not an immediate one.
Do we have to set a platform?
I'm not suggesting that we set a platform and a tilt and that just for this conversation.
Okay. My friend, you were in the war. You were exposed to the song, is that right?
I saw the effects of it, if that's what you mean.
Well, didn't we all, one way or another? I think I saw you react to what I did to Jurek just now. I don't wish to pry or to force you to talk about it if you don't want to, but if you'd like to, I'm here. Have you heard the song at all since?
I'm not sure. Sometimes, on nights that I can't sleep, I don't know if I can hear it or I'm just haunted by the memory of it.
Yes. Yes, I think many of us feel like that. But I think maybe you more than many. I'm sorry if I troubled you back there.
I'm glad you were here to help Durak.
As am I, but... I don't know if what I do is the song. But I understand that it can be troubling to those who have been closely exposed to it.
My instincts are my instincts. I wouldn't still be here without them.
And I'm glad for that.
Thank you for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing After the War by Jason Pitch and Alistair Stewart. If you're enjoying listening to the podcast, please do rate and review us as it helps other people to find the show. And come and talk to us on Twitter where we are at @BArmadaTales. You can find all that information and more in the show notes. See you next time. Can you read that?
Watermelon ale.
It's mirrored for me, which is a bit disturbing.
It's not mirrored for us.
They should call it watermail.
I've not had this
watermail on.
It says it's like eating a watermelon without all the slicing. So I'm about to find out whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Where do you stand on watermelon?
So I love watermelon and the kids love it.
I'm not a massive fan, but I like I don't hate it. It's just like,
which
not
is good
my
because we
top fruit of choice.
A lot of it in the house, and I particularly like it cold from the fridge on a hot day.
That's right. So this is actually the second watermelon or at least melon flavored beer that my beer club have provided to me in the lifetime of it of this subscription. Yeah, it's pretty weird. I mean, it's not a very good idea, basically, is it?
I completely agree, if I'm honest.
I feel a bit like beers and fruit, the way I feel about curd and fruit. Like, you know, lemon curd?
Yeah.
Which is gorgeous. Lime curd, also gorgeous. Straying away from the citrus fruits, yes, you can do it with blackcurrant. It does still work. After that, really, banana curd, that didn't need to happen.
Pineapple works quite well with beer, I have found so far.
So I'm quite fond of German wheat beers, which can taste quite banana-y. There's no banana in them.
But... Oh, yeah, but...
Josh hates banana.
I mean, I like banana, so...
It's a very... I mean, I know that... Certainly, I've had them where they add banana juice to them, which is going too far.
How do you fucking juice a banana? I hope you're all recording this Comedy Gold, by the way, for Black Armada Tastes.
I like a cherry beer. I like the Belgians know
I
how to
love
do
a cherry beer,
beer,
yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's the
raspberry,
sourness, I think.
Strawberry. Yeah, fruity beers. They're quite nice. You don't look convinced.
They get a bit sweet for me, I think. I like the sourness of them.
Yeah. Basically cherry anything.
Yeah,
is superior, right?
I love cherries. I don't get very excited about cherry flavoured stuff.
Well, that's because you're wrong. Cherry Coke, nicer than Coke. And I say that as someone who doesn't like Coke anyway, but Cherry Coke is nicer. Add cherry to any fizzy drink. Cherry...
We've got to have this conversation before Liz arrives because she hates cherries.
Does she?
Yeah, I think it's because
we invited her on this show.
Conceptually, it's because she hates olives, and conceptually, the two are massively intertwined in her head. A bit like Josh, how you can just about cope with avocado, but there is a banana quality to it, which ultimately you find a little bit distasteful.
But that's because it tastes a bit like banana. It's not. I mean, there's nothing similar between.
No, it tastes nothing like banana.
Do you mean texturally speaking? Like, I can understand if you're talking about the texture.
He's talking about taste.
Yeah, maybe it is.
But
the
I've
texture.
Heard other people say so banana definitely tastes a bit like avocado. But
the major problem with banana for me is the texture, for sure.
Yeah, same with Lisa. She can't even handle other people eating bananas in her vicinity.
It is hard to separate from the flavour, but I definitely, yeah. But like, there's nothing similar. The only thing that's similar between an olive and a cherry is that they're a similar shape. So,
and they've both got a stone got a pit in, them. In yeah. the middle, and they're about the same
that's
size.
Part of the shape.
And there's a sort of a certain quality of textureness to them.
No.
Oh, I can kind of see it, actually. Maybe. Depends on the olive.
I find it very hard because I'm
such... For the benefit of the listener, I am pulling a face.
I'm such a big fan of olives that basically I can't have them in the house.
Mm.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I will
eat them all.
Sort of the same with cherries.
Yes.
It used to be a summer thing in Australia because there were a couple of cherry, I was going to say cherry farms, where they farm wild cherries.
Herds of them.
Yeah.
Where they hunt the wild cherry.
What is the name for a group of cherries out on the prairie?
Do cherries have a collective noun? Everything has a
cluster,
collective noun.
Cluster?
Cluster seems a bit weak sauce, you know.
All right, then you suggest something.
A coven?
A sour.
an ensemble.
But you drive up to these farms and just buy buckets of the things and they'd be fresh picked and just...
Cherries just get flipping wolf down in this house. It's ridiculous. Becky bought his like gigantic tray of cherries.
It was about a kilo of cherries, wasn't it?
I don't know, but they're all gone.
I think it was a kilo. Yeah,
you can get
through
that.
They have all gone, and I had none of them. So that was probably mostly Athena, actually. Do you remember that time I bought that 750 gram box of strawberries, and we managed to rescue five of them because she'd just been sitting there watching her tablet just...
And you've seen them all.
Seen them one after another. Yes. You're like, whoa, you are a tiny child.
Rowan will eat all of the strawberries and raspberries we can carry. And if
it's
I want any of them,
I fruit,
have to.
Isn't it? It's like, we won't eat the parsnips.
That's not a fruit, Becky.
Wow. It's cheap, though.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, parsnips are pretty sweet. They won't eat parsnips, though.
Frozen raspberries and frozen mango, for which I credit you, have been a bit of a lifesaver, though.
Frozen grapes. I was eating some this afternoon. They changes the texture changes. They get kind of a
little grape icicles.
Sort of, yeah. It's kind of a little bit like a granita in a wrapped in a grape.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
I'm going to try this for sure.
Red grapes, especially better than the green ones.
I wonder what frozen cherries are like. Actually, we've had frozen cherries, haven't we? It's like a mixed berry mix.
They just don't taste very much of cherry.
They're not very good, are they?
And the texture of them isn't sufficiently exciting that I can get behind them. A bit like frozen strawberries are a little bit disappointing too.
It depends a bit on the purpose for which you're buying them, though, doesn't it? Because I would buy frozen raspberries and frozen mango for Rowan even if I didn't like them, because it would save us going bankrupt keeping him in his raspberry and mango habit.
Oh, no.
Even
Is
though
it
I love the
fresh to buy them frozen then?
Much. Much, much, much.
Yeah.
It is also,
much
they last
cheaper.
Longer and both in the sense that they last longer and in the sense that he gets through them more slowly.
I guess that makes sense.
We are also lucky in that it is now blackberry season. So
yes.
There usually comes a point where the kids say, oh, I'm hungry, what shall I have to eat? And I say, go into the garden and find
blackberry ice cream.
Some blackberries.
We also have a crop of blackberries, even if it's softened enough to serve, maybe not quite yet.
Go forth, children, and feed yourselves, forage in the wild with the garden.
Yeah, I think the watermelon beer is growing on me. I've got no.
The drunker
the
I get, the better it tastes.
it's becoming kind of as the weirdness just fades into the background. It just tastes kind of quite refreshing.
That's what you want from a beer.
I think I need to put the kettle on
so that you can boil yourself a nice cup of watermelon.
Yeah. We have had watermelon quite recently because Rowan's a fiend for it.
Can I tell you about
can't hear you, Liz.
What?
Sorry, Nick.
Shit.
Was Liz talking then?
Oh, bollocks. Does that mean I've fucked up my inputs again?
Probably.
Crap.
Speak, Nick.
Yes, speak.